Hello, everybody. Good evening. It's a pleasure to see you all again tonight, and it's absolutely awesome to worship with you. It's such a joy to be with God's people. That's what meeting is all about. See, the church is us, and it's so wonderful that we can praise God together. There's no greater delight in life. I feel a real refreshing of God's presence in the miraculous in all of us, and we need to believe Him for good things tonight and always as we trust Him for miracles. Miracles should be taking place in God's church all the time. Every time we meet, we should be a believing people that it never ends without God doing miracles. Hallelujah. I believe that the truth of this is being restored to the greater church and whole, that we understand that miracles is the norm. It shouldn't be strange to hear about things that God has done. It should be the norm. As important as singing is, miracles should be just as important. As important as preaching the word, miracles should be seen in our lives. He is a miracle-working God. That's what resurrection power is all about. Hallelujah. Resurrection speaks of miracles. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God for the cross, because at the cross, He meets our needs and sets us free. And the answer is paid for us all. But in resurrection power, we begin to receive all that God has for us, and we launch into the greatness of His purpose. God wants every believer to be moving in miracles, and that's what I'm believing for in this place. Amen. I trust that you're excited about it tonight. I feel a certain excitement and anticipation, and I love that, when God's people are excited about receiving from the hand of the Lord, because it's so awesome. Hallelujah. I just might have myself a little run around the place. You never know for sure. They used to call my brother and I the Ukes of Hazard, and all we ever did in our lives was just say, God, touch us. We just want to be what you want us to be. These songs tonight were absolutely amazing, singing about just giving all that you have. I really think that there's a move of God today that people are understanding this and coming into it. There's a lot of young people coming into this in this hour, too, just selling out to the things of God. It's an amazing moment. Like, we're seeing prayer in the city of Toronto rise, and it's mostly in 20s, people in their 20s. And then they're drawing the older guys like us. They actually gave me an invitation to come to where they're praying many hours into the night that God is going to touch the entire city. And they want to be right with God, walking with God all the time and enjoying His presence. It's just a pleasure to be a part of what God is doing. God is on the move. Canada is reserved for the Lord. I'm telling you, miracles are about to happen everywhere. But they need to happen in Jubilee. Amen. Because you've been believing God for a long time. It's a miracle-believing church. Started in the principles of faith and established to trust God for things to happen. Hallelujah. And I sense you're here tonight, all of you, because you're expecting. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're expecting God to do what He said He would do. And He speaks to us. This is important for us to see as we trust Him together. So we're going to believe for good things. I trust that you'll let your heart be stirred up and be excited with what God is doing. Amen. It's been such a pleasure for Pastor Elaine and myself to be here for these few days. I just love coming to this church because I feel like I'm just one of the family. You know what I mean? And we're just tied together for the glory of God. It's been many years that we've been involved here, but I feel like the greatest is yet to come as the glory of God covers this area with His presence. And you're going to need every seat to accommodate what God is about to do, and more some. I prophesy this in the name of Jesus. But it's not only here. God wants to do it everywhere. Canada is destined for a move of God in the church everywhere. Most histories and revivals of history happen in certain locations where God touches down. And that's wonderful. But I personally believe the end time revival that is spoken of over the nation of Canada and then many nations of the world is that God is going to en masse touch His church, and the churches are going to be filled up, and everybody's going to be happy with the fact that God's doing it everywhere, because this is designed for this nation. Now, it's been prophesied for years over this country, and we're believing it in our hearts. So I like the spirit of this church, where you believe it for yourselves, but you believe it for more than you. It's for all of God's people. Amen? And we're trusting for good things by the hand of God. I want to talk to you tonight about receiving a miracle. Is that all right? Everybody say, receiving a miracle. how you receive a miracle. We need to walk in that and trust. And that's what this weekend has been about. That's why that we had made out the cards for you to fill them out. And I'll be explaining it as I share a little bit tonight. We've been giving them out to everybody so that you would put down three of the miracles that you're believing God for. I could say maybe the most important miracles to you in your life. And I'm saying to you, don't miss this. If some of you haven't taken these cards, maybe we should give them out right now. Can we do? Is there, anyone didn't get one? And you could just write quickly on it, because all we're going to ask you to do is put it in the box, and they will not be read by anybody. They'll be destroyed after we have our time together tonight. And the reason I say that, because sometimes people like to come and they want a miracle of some form of deliverance that's between them and the Lord. And we're not trying to make a show about anybody. We just want God to do miracles, that's all. We just want God to do what he said he would do. And so this is not a fearful thing. The one thing the enemy wants to do is make us fearful about the good things of God, about getting all the things that God wants to give us. And so if you haven't filled it out, fill it out, and you can bring it up here and just drop it in the miracle chest, and then we're going to pray over that together, and then we're going to pray for everybody tonight and lay hands on everyone and believe that God is going to do what he said, because he's spoken to you over this weekend, and it's a marvelous thing. So you can take the cards. I'm encouraging everybody to take two, because one will come in here, and then one maybe you should put in your Bible so you never, never forget it. That reminds me, I've got mine filled out here. And I filled out two of them, so I can keep one, and I'm going to put one in with the rest of it. And we need to do that, just believing God and trusting and knowing that he will answer and give us what we desire and trust him in our hearts. Turn with me then in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 55. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 55. And we'll share these few things. I hope not to be too long, but you never know for sure, do you? As we trust the Lord together. This is our last night together, but I believe it's the beginning of greater miracles, because miracles are going to be in this place every time you worship and gather together by the grace of God. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Father, touch our hearts tonight. Give us swift, clear understanding of your word. Help us to know the power of your presence in us. And help us to know that while you work mightily, you work through us, believing you and trusting you. For all things we know, according to the word of God, are by faith. And without faith, we can't please you. Tonight, Lord Jesus, above everything else, we want to please you. So we believe in faith that you're going to do what you said you would do. And we trust you wholly, and we walk with you with excitement in our hearts, trusting for miracles in our time tonight, but also in everything that we do. We praise you for this, and we exalt you together, and we ask you to bless our time in the Word, in Jesus' name. And everybody shout it out, amen. Amen. I like that song you started with. Hey, that's a good song to start church with. Saying amen before it starts, how about that? Usually we do it at the end. It's good to do it in the beginning. That was great. Bless you, Jesus. Here's the word of the Lord. Would you look at it with me together, everybody? Verse 55, chapter 23 of the book of Luke. I'm really reading to you here from the story of the resurrection. It was after last Sunday, being Resurrection Sunday, that God began to speak to me about this weekend here at Jubilee. And I received it on Sunday evening, Resurrection Sunday. And I, on Monday, then called Pastor Ralph, and I asked if these cards would be made out, because I really felt that God told me positively that miracles are for this house. And you're about to see them everywhere. This is why it's going to be important for you to report them. You got to tell somebody. And God, I just feel this so strong in my heart. There's many. Because when you get prayer and worship established and the word is strong in what you believe, things are about to happen by the grace of God. So God spoke to me in a fresh way about it being resurrection time. Easter time, as we celebrate it together, and he wanted us to know that miracles are to be a part of that. Now, it's really refreshed my spirit, too, because I believed in miracles all my life, but you go through seasons when maybe you don't see it the way you really want to, and yet God has been refreshing me so much these days and all that he is saying and doing and helping us to understand that it's here. We're entering into a season of the miraculous. And I said to you the other night that God has been speaking this through many great leaders of the country. I was with 40 leaders in Oshawa, and God began to share that the season of warfare is over. That's not that warfare will stop totally, because we'll always pray and seek the Lord. But the heavy season that has been with Canada is over, and now it's time for the miraculous. Also, the word came that there's been a heavy season of repentance. I don't think there's a nation in the world that has seen as much repentance as the nation of Canada by God's people. Right. We've been repenting for all the things that we need to repent for. And the season of that is coming to an end, not again totally that you don't repent. Do you understand what I'm saying? We do repent, but the season is moving now toward the miraculous. And God is doing something very special. I was sharing that when Pastor Steve Fleming called me just last night, and he was just coming alive. Yeah, Pastor, that's so true. This is the time that God is breaking us through in the glory of God for miracles. So that's the reason that I'm coming tonight with this message from the resurrection, helping us to understand and know that that's the miracle of miracles. There's no greater miracle that has touched the world than the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus came to life, he absolutely, totally destroyed death. He took control over death. There should be no fear in death, what we have to walk through, because we're going from life to life. We are people that walk in life all the time. It's just that God had to bring it about this way because he uses this to speak to everybody. There's not a person on the face of the earth that won't go through the kind of death that we go through. And God uses that to make them think that they must understand the things of eternity, and they will more and more. But we walk through it in our lives knowing that we're just going into greater life. So Jesus overcame it all, and that's why we believe for miracles and trust him. Look with me then at the word of God here, chapter 23, verse 55. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb. They observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Please hear me on this now. They saw his body dead. They saw him dead. It could have been a hopeless moment. And I'm sure the enemy wanted it to be. Verse 56 says, then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. In chapter 24, hallelujah. Now on the first day of the week, resurrection day, very early in the morning, they and a certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away. Wow. Then they went in and did not find the body of Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid, notice that wording, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, that is, the angels said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? What a great question. Verse 6, he is not here, he is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying to you, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He said it. One of the greatest verses in the Bible, verse 8. Can you read it with me? Everybody read it aloud together. Do we have it up here? Verse 8. Let's read it. And they remembered his word. That's the key to the miraculous. Now let me say to you, Jesus, God could have set it up so that when these ladies arrived at the tomb, Jesus was standing there in the tomb alive. Couldn't he? Sometimes we think maybe that's the way it should have been. But that's not the way it was, and that's not the way it ever is. Because the most significant part of this story is that they still did not see him. But they grabbed the revelation of the miracle in their spirit when they believed the word that he said. And that's what makes the miraculous. Most people don't see that. They didn't see him alive at this point. But they got it in their spirit. They got the miracle inside of them because they believed what he said. Up until that moment, they didn't really believe what he said. Now, here lies the greatest test of the Christian faith is for us to really, 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 really believe what God says. That's the key to successful living. Abraham was able to receive the nations of the world, to be the father of nations, because he believed what God said. He wasn't any better than anybody else. He just simply walked in faith to believe what God said. And he never would let that out of his spirit. The key to resurrection life is believing what God says. And that's why we've asked you to fill out these cards, because I personally believe what the Lord spoke to me was that he's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you in Jubilee and tell you what to put down here. And that's what has come to your spirit by him. And what you need to do is believe what he says. Because that makes the difference for the purposes of God being fulfilled in your life. Without faith, we can't please God. All the things of God will be done by faith. Whatever we're going to see in the next little while in God's great church in the country of Canada and the nations of the world is going to be because somebody believes God. When you believe God, things start to turn. And so often, because of circumstances, we get hung up. And that's exactly the way it was with these ladies. Can you agree with me that it was a bad circumstance when they went into the tomb ahead of time? And the Bible tells us that they saw him dead. Their total hope, everything they believed in, was laying there lifeless. The temptation of the enemy for them was to totally wipe them out. I'm so glad for these women of God in the scripture because they actually made the disciples look foolish for a moment. Because they believed the Lord before they did. And trusted in his word. And that's what we do here tonight. I've often said in my life, I'd love for the Lord to come again and reveal himself to me physically. But you know, the greater thing that the Lord gets the delight out of is that I believe him even though he doesn't appear to me. Because his word is said to me that he is true. And the word goes forth from his mouth. Miracles take place because you believe God. And that's how this happened. That's how this miracle took place. It's so important for us to see this in the word of God. There's three things. I trust that you'll put them down in your Bible that these ladies did. The first thing was that they made a move toward God. They had to move toward the tomb. It's important for you to make the move. I'm telling you tonight from the depths of my spirit, it's important for you to make this move. Some people are fearful to make moves toward God, and the enemy will lie to us about fear. And that's what the enemy did with these ladies. He tried to make them fearful. As he tries to make us fearful, because fear is the opposite to faith. Fear will always bring you down. And I've always marveled in my life as a servant of the Lord that there's so many people, when you're about to see great things done for God, they get fearful. Everything comes before them. Maybe it's not going to work. Maybe someone will think I look foolish. Maybe I'm not going to get what I'm believing for. Every thought wants to come through your mind and cause you discouragement in all of this. When all of this came to my spirit the other day, last Monday, I called Pastor Ralph on Monday. I was feeling just fine. On Monday night, I received, some of you may have noticed, I got this incredible cold in my body. Now, for some time, what has happened to me when I have received a cold is that it went instantly into my right lung and I get pneumonia. And when this thing hit me, it hit me with tremendous force and this lung began to burn. And I felt so weak, like I'd hardly move. And I had actually said to my wife by Wednesday that I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this weekend in this great church in Jubilee. I'm going to have to phone Pastor Ralph and tell him maybe I can't do it. But then we joined together and we stood in faith, believing in resurrection power. And we said, "You rotten, stinking devil, you are a liar. You are a deceiver trying to put fear in my heart." I said, "Listen, no matter what I have to do in standing before those people, it doesn't matter how I look. The important thing is that your word penetrates into their spirit." So God Almighty touched me. Now, I'm convinced that over these few days, he has touched me by his grace. And I haven't had that thing happen because I felt God was showing me he's taking it out by his power. By his power, by his grace. The enemy always wants to bring fear to us. So when they moved toward God, they got fearful. So the second thing I want you to write in your Bible, the first thing for a miracle is move toward God, take a step, like we're doing tonight, and secondly, overcome your doubts. Your doubts must be overcome. Now, these ladies were there at the tomb when they laid Jesus in the tomb. So they saw him put there lifeless. That's what the Bible tells us, right? They saw him laying there lifeless. And then they stood there while they moved this massive stone in front of the tomb. Now, listen to me tonight. I'm sure you would understand that when they were on their way and made their move toward God, that they could have had many, many doubts of how, in the name of time, are we going to get that stone out of the way. Many things filled their spirit, but they overcame the doubts, and they went anyway and moved toward the tomb, believing for the miraculous to take place, and when they got there, glory be to God Almighty, the stone was already rolled away. And we find it over in Matthew's gospel that God had caused an earthquake and things began to shake. And God had taken care of it because they moved toward the Lord and overcame their doubts. Doubts will take us down. It's not wrong to have doubts because every one of us do. Some of you could have doubts about the miracles that you've put on these sheets tonight, not knowing for sure that you're going to receive. But listen, you are by grace tonight going to overcome those doubts. I believe that in our spirit, and you're going to believe what God says. So number one, they moved toward God. Number two, they overcame their doubts. And number three is this, very simple. They believed what God said. Now, they took leadership in this. Because the Bible says here, as it goes on to say, look, in verse 8, and they remembered his word. Then verse 9, then they returned from the tomb and they told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. What did they tell to the apostles? What they told the apostles was, he is risen, before they even saw him. They didn't see him yet. Are you getting this? They were no different than us. Getting a miracle, seeing it before we receive it. That's the essence of faith. Counting those things that are not as though they are and keeping on believing it. I'm totally convinced tonight that it's so powerful in this room if you believe the things that you've written on this sheet and keep on believing them, they have to come to pass. By the grace of God. And that's the principle of faith. So they led the apostles. The apostles didn't believe. And when they went to the apostles, the Bible tells us here, they did not, the apostles didn't believe it. The ladies had already gotten it. And the apostles didn't. And I don't have time to go through it scripture by scripture here again tonight because it would take us too long. But then the Bible starts to talk about the two on the road to Emmaus. Do you remember that story? They're walking with him and they don't even know who he is. All he was to them was another man making the journey from Emmaus back to Jerusalem. And they didn't even see him. We're not certain who they were. One was Cleophas. The other one may have been Peter. Might have been. We're not really sure. But they are making their way back and they don't even know who he is. They are all caught up in their doubts. And their words, I'm sure, were absolutely negative. Say that with me, everybody. Absolutely negative. That's what they were saying to themselves. Let me prove that to you. Look with me over in verse 17. Verse 17 of chapter 24. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are so sad?" I'm sure they were speaking every doubt that you could imagine. And this is why over the years, in the last little while, God has been teaching us to control how we speak. Because rather than speaking negatively, we're called to believe what God says and keep it in our hearts. And so here were the apostles walking on the road, speaking negatively. Jesus walking with them, and they don't even know who he is. But he went into the house with them. You remember what he did? He took the bread, right? He took it as he's taken you. He blessed it as he's blessed you. He broke it as he's broken you of your self-life. So you don't think me, me, me all the time. That's what he does with his body. He broke it, and then he gave it. And when he did it, their eyes were opened, and they believed in the power of the resurrection. And he was so sneaky, what he did at that particular moment was just disappear. Isn't that neat? You think he could have stayed there and talked to them for a while, but when they got the revelation, he disappeared because he wanted them to know that it was received in their spirit by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Resurrection power is in this room tonight. It's because of a believing people. Every song I heard you sing this week, I've said this to Pastor Ralph, I have felt that there is tremendous faith being released again in Jubilee. I want to lift you up for the exaltation to Jesus. But there's people here that are believing what God says and trusting him and walking in it. You've done that for a time, but it's like a refreshing of God's power that's coming in your lives as you trust the Lord together. Hallelujah. So even the resurrection could not be accomplished unless somebody believed. Isn't that interesting? And the ladies believed before they saw him. And God used that to bring about his great purpose. The greater church has a hard time to believe. Most churches meet week after week. They sing songs, they read the scriptures, do all kinds of things, but they don't believe. When we believe, things start to change. Jesus actually said, when you pray, what did he say? When you pray, believe. Prayer can actually be useless. You can pray 1,000 prayers. You can say the Lord's Prayer 100 times every day. And yet, if you don't believe, you don't get the power of God. There must be believing to receive the power of God. This is so important. And so God is teaching us to walk in faith. Could it have been that all the things that you've walked through here in Jubilee for the last little while has been because God is solidifying this in a believing people who are brought to a moment like this where they are expecting God to do incredible things because they're keeping on to believe through everything that you've walked through. by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Look with me while I'm into this. Just comes to my mind at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody know what chapter that is? It's the what chapter? The faith chapter. How about that? Hallelujah, the faith chapter. It says this, now faith is, firstly, faith is a reality. Faith is substance of things hoped for, and it's evidence of the things that you do not see. So faith is already substance, and it is evidence. But without that, we don't see the great things of God, because without faith, verse 6 tells us, we don't please God. And so the scripture then goes into all the great heroes of faith. I love every so often in my Bibles that I have had for years, I just go over and over and write stuff in this faith chapter because I know it's the key to the glory of God. Everything about the book of Hebrews is about Jesus, but we must understand it all by faith. And this chapter speaks of all the heroes of faith who are walking with God and how they believed him in spite of what took place. Look at Moses, though. I want you to look at how it is written about him in verse 26. Esteeming, this is Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Isn't that interesting to notice that Moses saw Christ? Isn't that an amazing thing about the Old Testament scripture? This is a New Testament word that tells us and shows us that Moses saw Jesus. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible, Jesus. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he would be destroyed, who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Look at verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Now notice, it moved from just being Moses having faith to them having faith, which is incredible. Because God never intended for us to walk it alone. That's why it's important that we are bringing this together. Just putting them in this chest tonight is part of us believing for one another. And we in a moment are going to have a time of believing, not just for your personal miracles, but for everyone's miracles. And this is the way God wants us to think. And this is what happened to Moses. He believed in the Passover, which was Jesus actually shedding his blood. And it was put over the doorposts in Moses' day so the death angel would pass by. And out of that, we receive salvation and life into our spirits and all that goes with it. That's about the cross. That's about understanding the work of redemption and the power of the blood. But the crossing of the Red Sea is about the resurrection. Because when they crossed the Red Sea, things changed. And God did the miraculous for them that they had never seen before. Incredible stuff begin to happen by God's grace and his presence. Let me just share a few things. Can I do that with you? Things that happened when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Number one, fear of death was gone. Everybody say that with me. Fear of death was gone. Absolutely annihilated. Because the cloud of God had moved from before the people and went behind them to cut off the enemy. The enemy was cut off from them. Only the people of Egypt could see darkness. The children of God saw light. And the light comes from the power of the resurrection. Fear of death completely vanished away when they went across the Red Sea. This had to do with resurrection life because they believed God. And the book of Hebrews tells us that they walked in that and trusted in that together. This is why God wants to move in churches. He wants to move in individuals, but he likes to move in the group together because he wants you to want it for somebody else too. He wants you to want miracles for everybody. I want you to want miracles for me. I'm believing for some pretty big stuff, and I pray that you'll pray with me that I'll have what I'm believing for. And you won't fight me when I'm believing for some things in the city of Toronto. I've had some people say, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? All I'm trying to do is be faithful to what God said to me. That's all we're trying to do. And we need to believe for one another to see this thing come to pass. Can you imagine what happens when we do believe this way? This is what took place when they crossed the Red Sea. They were actually making their move. They were overcoming their doubts. Can you imagine the doubts they must have had to look at the Red Sea, standing there and saying, how are we going to cross this thing? Come on, everybody. I'm a scuba diver. I took it up at the age 59. I've done 75 scuba dives already. And God shows me his presence under the water. When I was in Israel, I went specifically to the south coast of Israel so I could dive in the Red Sea just a few kilometers from where the children crossed. And I looked at how big that was. And all the doubts that must have filled their spirit as they stood there and said, how's this going to work? But you see, they had moved from Passover to resurrection power, which has to do with the supernatural of God that's believed. And they stood there at that moment. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that they together, they all didn't keep it. Some did. But they stood there at that moment and believed what God said. And God touched that thing and rolled those waters back. Hallelujah. Goosebumps go up my spine when I think about it again tonight. Rolled those waters back by faith. Then can you imagine the doubts they had to walk into that? How would you like to walk into that with a wall up several hundred feet on one side of water and water up on the other side? Every doubt could have filled their spirit. But they had overcome their doubts in walking and trusting in God. This is what God wants to do with the faith people who are going to turn this nation upside down for the glory of God. And I just believe tonight it's you and me. Hallelujah. By the grace of God. So number one, they overcame. The fear of death was gone. Number two, the fear that things will not work out was gone. How many people even want to do miracles like we're believing for tonight to trust the God, and yet you can fear that it's not going to work out? Fear is the opposite to faith. And that disappeared when they crossed the Red Sea. Fear of poverty left them because God told them that all that old bondage of Egypt was gone. And at that particular moment, by the power of God, God's prosperity and blessing was for them. And the fear of not having what they needed disappeared. That's resurrection life. The fear of doors not opening up fell away. Because they were knowing from this point on, doors were going to open before them like never before. Hallelujah. The fear of not being free from the enemy's pursuit fell off. They no longer feared the enemy on their tail. Glory to God. Satan and every demon was taken care of as we see it today. And the Egyptians were cut off from behind them. And from that moment, they did not fear the enemy. The fear of someone standing in their way was completely overcome because Pharaoh was like he had fallen asleep. And he was so confused he couldn't think. By the power of God, God had done it in their lives. The fear of not going straight ahead had been overcome because it was now full speed ahead by the grace of God. The fear of God not visiting their home had vanished away, and they were told that God was going to be in their household. And the power of God would be revealed not only to them, but to their family. Hallelujah. And I feel that so strongly in this move here in this church. That God is going to give a family move. His purpose is to bring your household to the kingdom of God. There may have been battles. There's battles with us all. But listen to me. Do not give up your faith in what God has told you about your family. Your family belongs to the kingdom of God. That's God's eternal purpose for you. Hallelujah. God will visit their home again. They were told they would have perfect victory. They were told as they praised God, God would fight for them. They were told you will have a perfect wonder. You will be awestruck. They were told you will have a sense that God has put out the fire. God put out the fire in a big way. There was a lot of water when it all ended. You will be aware that you will not sink, as many of God's people think they're going down. You will be aware that the enemy of your destiny has departed. Hallelujah. We'd gone through some things, and all this came to my spirit by the grace of God. Some of you knew what we walked through over the last few months in our lives. And some of the greatest tests that I've ever faced in my life were there. And yet God so graciously made us aware that the enemy had been taken out and our destiny was sure by God's grace, no matter what you see and what's gone on before us. They were told, you will no longer think failure. And lastly, you will receive a new song. And that's what happened by resurrection power to the children of Israel. Yes. The key to it is believing God. Hallelujah. Some of you are going to get some of that stuff tonight by God's grace. And you'll never be the same again as you trust him for what he has said. That's why we've called for this particular weekend, is to believe him for mighty things to happen as we trust him together. One of my spiritual sons, we have many that we help in the things of the Lord because that's the calling on our lives, is to work with pastors and leaders and pour into them. And I'm so excited the last little while to report to you that more than ever I'm sensing them phoning us and asking us to pray when things begin to happen. And believing that as we pray with them together and we set our hearts together, that God will bring the miraculous. One of them called me the other day and told me that he was taken with a very serious disease in his head. It was in the blood vessels in the head. And it was inflammation that was taking control of the blood vessels to the point that the pain was so unbearable that he could hardly exist. They were putting so many painkillers into him to try to take care of this. They actually took him to the hospital quickly and tried to cut into his head and take out a part of some blood vessels because medicine didn't really know what it was. They'd never seen it quite like that before, hardly knowing what to name it. And he called. And he said, Pastor, this is what it is. And I want you to pray with us for a miracle. We prayed. And I sensed him taking a step toward God that he had never taken before in the area of believing God for the miraculous. So he took a step forward in his church. And by calling and doing some other things, he was opening his heart toward God. And then I really sensed in my spirit that he was beginning to overcome the doubts. Because every fear was put into him that something else is wrong. You understand what I'm saying? When you get that kind of pain in your head, the enemy wants to tell you everything. Do you know what I mean? Because most sickness comes from fear. And so the enemy was trying to overcome him. And I saw him overcoming the doubts. This was over a 2-week period. It didn't happen just that moment, but it came to pass. And on the Saturday before I came here, which was the day before Resurrection Sunday, he phoned me. And he said, Pastor, I'm completely healed by the grace of God. He said, it's absolutely astounding to the medical people. They don't have any idea what happened. But God healed me. And he said, this Sunday, I'm preaching on miracles. Don't you know that Pastor Paul got really, really, really excited? He said, I'm preaching on miracles, and I'm going to keep preaching on it until God tells me to stop. Well, I kind of think that'll never be, as you begin to see the grace of God start to be established. I sense more of this happening all the time. Everywhere we go across the land, God is speaking about the miraculous. And God is wanting to do it here. That's what this move was about. Please, it's a kind move that God brought to us. Take a step toward God. Overcome your doubts and believe what he says. And that's the key to the miraculous. Thank you, Jesus. He's alive. Amen. Bless you, Lord Jesus.